Hi, this is Ange.
And this is Dev.
Welcome to Monday Morning Mindsets. Hi, folks. Welcome to your Monday. Hi, Debbie's taking pictures of me because my headphones don't fit.
No, so because I love her. So, hey, ridiculous. What's up, y'all? How's it going? Happy Monday morning. It is April 8th, and I hope that you are listening to our voices right now.
And didn't you say that's the day of the solar eclipse?
Yes,
right?
So today is the solar eclipse. If you are not aware, you need to go outside. Do not look directly at it. There are special glasses. But this is not going to happen again for like another 44 years.
Yeah, this is a total solar eclipse.
So, and yes, this is also through doing my little bit of research about what April 8th brings. Just so y'all know, it is National Zoo Lovers Day. So what's your favorite animal at the zoo, Anne?
The wolves.
The wolves, really. I don't think I have a favorite. I like them all for different unique features.
You know, the thing about going to the zoo, flat out, I always feel so sad. Like, I know it's a good thing, but, you know, a lot of these animals are saved from habitats they wouldn't
that
have
they
survived
couldn't survive
in.
Any longer.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand all of that. But a little bit of me, every time I'm there, is like, this animal wants to just run in the wild.
Yeah, but
and it
you
gives
know what?
Me like a.
Sometimes I walk in somebody's home and I feel that way about somebody's child, too.
I mean, but truth, though, sometimes
where there's good, there's bad, right?
You know, where the wild things are.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, was one anyways. Of my favorite books. Did you ever have, before I ever had children, I always knew I was going to be a mother. I don't know if people, like, other people feel that way or not, but, like, I knew from the minute I was born
I
was going to be a mother.
I did.
And when I was, like, 12, I started a baby box for my future baby.
I mean, I was 14. I was 14 when I made up Jalissa's name.
Yeah.
I never even had a boyfriend yet.
You guys
and I didn't have Jalissa until she was, I was almost 27, and she is Jalissa.
See?
Yeah.
You're going to love this, though. The only thing in that box, books.
Who knew? Angela has always loved books, y'all. Anyways, kind of on the sad note, but I came across it and I thought I should share because in presence of always representing people through, you know, our little historical dates and whatnot.
Right.
So this came about. So on April 8th, 1994 was the day that Kurt Cobain, the lead guitarist of Nirvana, was found deceased. I remember that day, actually.
I do, too. And you know what? I think for people our age, it really was a thing. Because in those days, like, we didn't have YouTube and those things, folks. So, you know, we would watch MTV. So, like, you got to see the people that were singing. And I don't know. For some reason, I felt like that made a deeper connection to their music.
Well, I think maybe not deeper, but that was our way of our connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they have their way now. But it was definitely different to us that, unfortunately, the way that he was found, suicide was not something that we were familiar with. Like,
it just wasn't talked about.
Because,
right.
Yeah, there was not nearly as much. So it was very shocking.
No education.
Very shocking day in 1994. Nirvana music still lives today in today's kids' generation are still rocking it out.
I know. So, I see kids in
Nirvana
t-shirts.
You know what, Kurt Cobain, our angel up there, thank you for giving us something beautiful, and I hope you're resting peacefully.
Right? Giving us a whole education,
yeah,
which is something
for
that's
sure.
important. I
for
think
sure.
that, you know,
something special.
People don't know they're
going to
be trailblazers, but in their own way, they are. Like,
every
they just
human.
Make a, you know, a impact mm-hmm. in their own way. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Anyway, so a little sad thought. Also, an 8 is the symbol of infinity.
Oh.
There's no beginning and there's no end.
So like our tattoos.
Yep. Yes. Yes. Just like those.
Just in case y'all as listeners don't know, Angie and I have matching tattoos. And I only have one, and that is the one that Angie and I decided to get together when I was 23 years old, and my mama was mad. But I knew I wanted a tattoo for many years, and I waited for the very special one, and I knew I only would want one, and it happened to be a symbol, a Celtic knot, which
yes.
represents a relationship that has
no beginning and no end.
So here we are on April 8th. We might have taken a break, but guess what, y'all? We never ended.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, like that whole symbolism that we have on there where there's no beginning and there's no end. you know, it has this deeper connection of like everything in life is connected. Because yeah. that's part of the belief system of that.
Well,
like,
right.
you know, all things, all beings, everything that exists is connected.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Pretty symbolic.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Love it.
So how, what did we talk about last week? Oh, I get to attitude.
I get to. You know, I got to do a lot this week.
That you did have a very, you were like a little productive girl this week.
I was productive. I was happy. I was joyful. And you know what? I'm going to admit that if I actually clocked it, like some of us look at our hours on our screen time, I probably had 16 solid hours of real crocodile tears in between all that joyful, amazing I got to's.
Absolutely.
So where there yeah. is yin, there is yang.
Yes.
Where there is pretty, there is heavy. Where there yes. is tools, you will overcome and find the joy.
That's true. I had a week like that too. And, you know, it's so interesting how ingrained my practices are. And I noticed that this week because the week before, it was a good week. I wasn't meditating as much. I wasn't like, you know, you don't use all your tools sometimes if you feel like you're just floating along fine.
Right.
So,
but when heavy comes, yes. Knocking.
So this week was a heavy week and I was meditating so much. I was in my spiritual practices. I was listening to my mantras at work. Like I just really dug deep into that. And I think that there's a piece in that.
There is a piece in that. And you know what? There's a lesson in it too. What we basically just admitted is don't let yourself get lazy, because we can easily recognize that as there was a last week that was a little bit easier and lighter and mm-hmm. we were la ta da and the schedule wasn't as intense, right? You had a little bit more free time. The pressure maybe wasn't as much at work as it had been the previous week. And you forget to do your practices. But by the end of that easy, joyous week, you're really tired from not doing your practices, actually. And then you hit a heavy week like we had this week. And man, you are catching up. You are carrying that toolbox and your shoulders are feeling heavier than if you would have stayed in practice.
I think one of the things here, though, because we're humans and we have an ebb and flow, like I do 100% agree with that. Like I would have been better prepared if I had been right. in my practices. But the whole point is if you kind of lapse like I did, you can pick them back up.
You're built you know? Well enough.
Yes, yes. You can go back. You yes. don't have to think, oh, that didn't work because I quit. No, I don't want to start from the beginning.
Well, you know why?
You can just jump in.
Well, because you're no longer at 0%.
Right.
You've noticed the yeah. positive percentage that you're at rather than the negative percentage that you're at. So you know exactly where to begin. Where you left off.
Well,
when
like
it's time.
Today, I was just feeling antsy, and so it was hard for me to meditate. So instead, I played my singing bowls, which
I
is
know,
the meditation
in
itself.
Coming in to record and laying on the floor and feeling that vibration and being in front of the candle, in front of your bestie that just is so peaceful, sitting there like she is playing the best orchestra. Okay. Like, all the sounds at once. And it's just like, it's like, I can't explain it any more than how I seen it and felt it. And it's like walking into the ambiance of a room that there is nothing negative and it's just all filled with peace. Like, just imagine being able to do that, walking into a living room.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What?
It's so
you
good.
Can.
It's so good. If you've never experienced any sound healing, I suggest it for all people because. Really, like, for me, it's one of the things I do in my meditative practice. Like, those bowls are so relaxing. And
well,
it is. And I'm concentrating. And now I've gotten so good that I can close my eyes and just feel where
feel
the bowl
it.
Is.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to, like, worry if I'm going to hit the side of the bowl with the mallet. Because sometimes you'll go, dang, you know.
Isn't
and
it so this. Beautiful to be worry-free
so
in your body?
So in sync, yes. And yeah. In playing those, it just releases so much. And then I have a huge, well, not the biggest gong that you can get, but I have a gong in the kitchen and like drums all over the house. Like I constantly heal myself with sound every
yeah.
day.
It's a beautiful thing.
It really
and
is.
And you know what? It's coming in tune with your natural senses is what
yes.
it is, which means that you are coming in tune with your natural abilities of yourself. Understanding yourself, feeling yourself,
yes.
and calming yourself. It's just it's worth a shot if you're the person that is still talking about restless legs at night and not being able to sleep.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I don't know if I've ever told this story on this on the podcast, but the moment that I knew that I had to be involved with like yoga and sound healing was that Isabella and I were just like trying out different yoga places, and like we were really just working on like her mental health at that time. And she did have a therapist, but we also had like an acupuncturist. We were trying different yogas and meditations and like going to these things.
So just so everybody knows, what Angie is explaining is your typical today's average 15-year-old-ish, that it's just so hard to make these transitions in life. And so a lot of anxiety issues, a lot of bellyache issues, maybe some friendship issues, not feeling like fitting in issues. And instead of Angie going down the MD side of healing, she started naturally helping her daughter understand a different way of a calming lifestyle to rid some of those feelings.
Absolutely. And I'm here for it. I believe in it. Now, like I said, Isabella did have a therapist. So
right.
We did not neglect
talking,
you know,
about
that part of her journey. But I really, really didn't want to medicate her. And at one point we didn't. It did not go well because I just knew
it wasn't, you
know,
what was best
it
for
wasn't
your child.
Right. And so after that experience, I started to really look into like these natural healings. So I had booked us for the sound healing. I didn't know what sound healing was. I had never experienced any sort of event like this. So it was a sound healing with restorative yoga, and it was like an hour and 20 minutes. And I was like, okay. And so Bella and myself and her friend Maylee, the three of us went. All three of us, they put us into these restorative yoga poses, and you're in them for like 25 minutes, but it's like Savasana or like child's pose, but it's supported. So you're not like holding up your weight. It's absolutely fabulous. And they did this sound healing, and they played the crystal healing bowls, and they had drums, and they had a gong, and they had, I mean, it was like sound after sound after sound, mm-hmm, after sound. At one point, all three of us were bawling. Like at some point during this,
you were releasing.
We had this massive like emotional release. And I know that sounds maybe like terrifying for some people, but it was a spiritual experience, really, because we all walked out of there the calmest any of us had felt in the longest time. Like we talked about it so much that literally after that, I started researching yoga. I wanted to be a restorative yoga teacher. To do that, you have to be a certified yoga teacher, and then you take the next phase. So I immediately signed up for a class.
Right. You set a goal.
Yeah.
You
I was like, I will do this for people because it changed my life.
It changed your child.
Yeah.
Which
in
is a mom.
1 hour in like 15 minutes.
Right.
I mean, what? Yeah. So
amazing. Instead of fulfilling your daughter's dreams or son's dreams with the next amazing concert, maybe
right.
Do this, because
take them to
genuinely what sometimes and this is what you're explaining is what we've talked about in our podcast is our children oftentimes are to this level of so overstimulation,
yeah,
and so misunderstood and don't understand their own body, mind, emotions yet as they're still growing, and they become disconnected with their own self, and then they're expected out here in this world to understand what they're disconnected with. So you brought something beautiful, not only to give an upper hand for you as a parent, but to help keep teaching other people that maybe it's an environmental factor. Maybe if we go to a calmer facility, we won't feel anxiety. We will feel lifted. We will feel powerful, you know? So don't deny it. Try it, you know?
I mean, yeah, I just... Absolutely. All of that. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such an amazing experience for us, I think. And You know, Isabella, it's so uplifting to see her using those practices that we instilled in her. But, I mean, we did all things. We did hypnotherapy for anxiety, like, all the things.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might not be in, like, everyone's wheelhouse of comfort. But for me as a mother, my whole goal was to find as many modalities as I could until one really changed something for her.
Right.
And so we just kept
I'm
trying.
I'm proud of you, girl.
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, it is hard not to get discouraged when you're trying to help your child against what society
norms.
Does.
Societal norms.
So it was a lot of research to
and
find some
what?
Of these things.
And you know what? I will say to at the upper hand, so many of these things that we're talking about have been modalities that as I have become so physically ill, learning that my mental things that were traumatic experiences as a child to see children going through these traumatic experiences now, it brings me an understanding and it brought me an anger and a frustration that there is a whole side of life that we can control taking care of our bodies with the taking care of our minds. Taking care of our minds means oftentimes not doing the societal norms. But reaching outside of the box to say what's best for my family, what's best for my situation, what's best for my child, what's best for myself. And I just say that holistic is very important and we would have a much healthier society and our children would have a much upper hand at fighting some of the things we didn't know to fight in our generations.
Well, you know, we're one of the... I don't want to say only, but I know that we're in a lower category for this of cultures that does not teach our children mindfulness in schools.
Correct.
All over the world, they teach them this. And it is such a useful tool to have in your life that I just don't understand why they don't teach it. That's like one of my goals is to start helping shift that.
I think today's society has our 2020 shift really brought about a lot of teaching of mindfulness and traumatic experiences and how to come together with
that's
this.
True.
So right now we're all in an awakening and I think that our children really are learning some of these mindfulness techniques, but don't forget there is a segregation because they go home to generations and people that aren't out there learning it. So they are either having to teach to their families what they are learning or they disconnect it. They leave it at school, but at home it's not something that's practiced and they don't know how to be the leader to start teaching it to these people that are unchangeable right now.
You know, I don't know because if you remember, well, maybe you don't because you are a little bit younger than I am. But when I was in school, they taught us about seatbelts, okay? Because we had a generation of parents that just cut them right out of the car.
Right.
You know, like they just, whoop, well, this is not comfortable. Bye-bye. And they just snipped them out. And so when we learned about seatbelts, I remember I went home. I was in fifth grade, and I was, like, looking in the car, where are seatbelts? Like, I've learned about this.
Yeah.
And so then I was the one that was teaching my parents, like, we can't do that. Like,
but you had receptive
we
parents.
We need to have
Or a
seat
receptive
belts.
Parent.
I was going to say.
You had a
I
receptive
was like,
parent.
Girl, what are you talking parents. About? Yeah. I mean, but I did have the conversation with both, but only one was concerned about it.
Right. So,
yeah. That was definitely a thing. Like, what happened to our seatbelts? Like, now we're all going to die.
Right, but the kid that comes home and gets slapped
thing,
for saying
know?
It, they're not going to bring home the lesson again.
That's true.
You know
That's
what I mean?
True.
So we need...
Well, let's just hope there's more of the teachers
and children. We need more parenting classes.
So that's a recap. Okay,
I mean,
let's
really.
Shift to Monday morning mindset.
This is a Monday morning mindset in the raw. Anyways, you know
hilarious.
What? It has been an absolutely beautiful week. But I do kind of want to give out the heaviness as far as I was able to keep listening to my messages this week. And so the 16 hours of crying that I said that I did is, you know, continuing to use my toolbox and be verbal and vocal and grieve when things come my way and in a way that I didn't before. So yes, a lot of tears, but instead of like calling somebody and saying, why is life like this? You know, I get to is what it turned into.
Yes.
And I just want to say some of the heaviness is the ongoing losses that our society is having today.
Yeah.
One of the things I was blessed with this week was having enough courage to take running into somebody as a message to reach out and give that phone call to a friend that I had made a rule that maybe I wasn't going to, but I needed to reassure that friend that you never have to walk a mile alone. We can be on such a different page. We can misunderstand each other. We can learn from our past experiences, but I'm still always here and I'm always me as I have always loved you. And I can't express enough that when I say my messages, running into an elder that I pray that I get to run into, but you know, it's like a family discrepancy thing. Like you don't go there, but the real hindsight was learning from the children and having a beautiful connection this past week with Adriana, reaching out and giving an apology and an explanation a little bit, and her and I having a conversation, it sparked me to be the bigger adult and say, wow, you know what? Because kids are uncomfortable doing that. And once again, a leader, right? Like a leader that might be completely feeling of discouragement right now, but at the same time is taking the courage that we're teaching out here. So I just want to say, even when it's heavy, use your tools, bring your joy alive, and find the purpose and what the story is right now.
Truth, sister. Truth.
Yeah.
Preach it, sister. So yes, I had a lot of I get to's this week moments. And I think that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Because I was, you know, I try to every week follow what we're doing, like really
strategically.
Right.
Like if you're preaching it, you're doing it.
Right. I want to say, yes, I tried this and I got these results or didn't, right. You know. And I'm very honest about those things. When people ask me, like, what was your experience with whatever new thing we're trying?
Right.
I'll tell you the truth. I will tell you the truth. But yeah.
So what, give me, what is one of the I got to's this week that some people would not have found joyful, but you found it joyful because you reminded yourself you got to.
Well, I had this thing. I had a lot of those that are gratitudes for my family, but I had this this moment at work where I was frustrated. I had been on hold for an hour and like 22 minutes, and I was starting to get like a little.
22, your birthday.
Right. Andrew's actually.
Andrew's, yeah.
See, right. Yeah. But I started to feel a little frustrated deep in my body. I don't know if you guys ever feel that frustration where it's like you can feel it radiating out like to your fingertips. Like every cell is angry now.
You know, that reminds me of one of those old school cartoons. That the cartoon character is steaming and the ears are actually have steam coming out. Like, how realistic is that?
I mean, that's what they were trying to teach us. That's what this feeling is. It feels like this. Yeah. So I was having that moment and I took a breath and I was like, isn't it nice that I get to be on hold this long and get some things accomplished while I'm sitting here? You know, even though it's like I get to do this and be paid for it. I get to it. And so I went on a little thing and I was like, okay. And I started to feel myself calm right down. And so then when the person on the other end answered, I had already gone through like what they must be going through on their end. And so I was like, you know, I get to be the person that isn't a dick when they answer the phone. And so I made that my goal, basically. Right. And I was like, okay.
I get to bring joy to someone's life that's not having some.
Yeah. So when they answered, I was like, hello, thank you so much. I don't know. And I just, you know, was
But if
very
only that
cheerful.
Person knew how much work it took you.
Yes, girl. Because I wanted to be like, what was your problem?
Right.
You just leave your customers on hold for an hour and 25 minutes. Trust me, I had been there. And that's why I was like, use your tools, use your tools, use your tools.
That's
and
what I'm saying. People don't understand how hard we're working on here.
The I get to, though, was actually a really great week, like a really good practice to have.
Yeah, that's how I felt with the opening day game. Like, I used to be the person that, as much as this arthritis hurts when it's cold and the fake knee, you feel it in a different way. And I found myself complaining and giving the excuses, I can't go outside in this cold, like it has to be 70 degrees. No. I got to go to opening day and I got to put 4 layers on and I got to not hear myself complain because I had a joyful time.
That's right.
In the snow.
And no one wanted to hear that from you either. Right. So they got to be
but
the
that
people
was the purpose,
that
right?
didn't hear you complain.
Right, but
see?
That's the purpose of you going to something like that. You don't want to be the complainer and take the purpose of joy away from such a beautiful event. Right?
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Joy.
All right. So this one is interesting. We're in day 16 now. And it's gratitude for transport. Okay, so
yes,
I want
soccer
you,
mom van.
All right, yes, I want you to think about how you get around. Transport is such a vital part of life, and we would be lost without it. And you know what? That's true. Truth. I've never thought about that, to be honest. All right, so this is going to be a new one for me too. I'm excited. Okay, there's a great documentary called Crip Camp that I would love you to watch sometime. It's an inspired documentary that takes us back to the 1970s, where a group of teenagers with disabilities discovered a summer camp in upstate New York that became a transformational experience. This wasn't just any camp. It was a place where friendships blossomed, love bloomed, and a fierce sense of empowerment ignited. Isn't that beautiful?
It just took me back to us going to Camp Mishaluka.
Oh, what a beautiful, like, whole paragraph. So here's the next part. From the lively campfire discussions to an unstoppable spirit of activism that emerged, the film captures the essence of Camp Jened, I think is it. I'm J-E-N-E-D. Jened? Jened?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I don't know. A special haven where campers embrace their quirks and differences. As the campers grew up, their journey extended beyond the campgrounds, evolving into a powerful movement for disability rights. Crip Camp is a celebration of resilience, friendship, and the belief that everyone deserves a seat at the table and on the bus. It's a documentary that will have you cheering, laughing, and maybe shedding a tear or two as you witness the extraordinary impact of a summer that changed lives and helped change the world. This documentary will have you thinking about how lucky you are that we have access to public transport, restaurants, and shops without issue. And if you're disabled, it will give you an enormous gratitude to the people who fought for your rights. So this is about transport. If you walk, if you get on a bus, a train, a tram, if you get to drive to work or to all the things in your life, imagine your life without any of these modes of transportation.
That would be very life-changing. And it's actually one of the powerhouses that gets me out walking as much as I possibly can. Because I'm even thankful for the fact that I can still use my legs as my mode of transportation. I didn't have a car.
Yeah. Truth. Truth. So for some of us, it might be a lot harder and lengthier to get things done. But for others, it would be impossible.
Yeah.
Like literally impossible. We only need to experience one blip in the chain to feel the full force of having no transport. It could be a crash that closes the road. I mean, think about that when you're like,
yeah,
oh, this is the way
huge,
I go, you know,
bridge that was taken out.
Yes.
And it's really going to cripple that
community. Yes.
For a long time.
Absolutely. You know, there are just these accidents that happen that leave us without this avenue of transport. And it would create a huge impact on our lives, as we're seeing with the poor people that experienced that. What, I can't remember what state that was in.
It was I want to say it was out in LA. It was a
you're talking about
California.
The trans. I don't think it was, honey. I thought it was like in Missouri or
the
something.
Big, the big,
the huge bridge.
Bridge
I don't
that
know.
Just came down.
I have no idea. I could be wrong. I feel terrible. I mean, I have no idea.
It was big, though. It,
well, we're sending our prayers out to those people.
A big boat took it out.
Yeah. I saw the video of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, praying for those people, praying for the losses, praying for the...
Oh, my gosh.
And the blessings of all the hard workers that are coming together to resolve it as quick as they
can. Yes, absolutely.
Give them grace as they are working really hard, I'm sure.
And... You know, it's hard work, like, it's a lot. So, yeah. so thankful for a community like that. But, you know, in times like this, too, you really do find community. And that's always the beautiful thing in a tragedy, I think, is the sense of community.
And I'm out here preaching, let's pull together and be a better community before tragedies.
Yeah, right.
So that we can get through the tragedies even better, right? Because they're going to come.
Okay, so this week there's a little homework, and okay. I'm excited for it. So physical action to go with gratitude always, like, supercharges the gratitude. And we can do this in many ways. So whatever your mode of transportation is, if you ride a bike or walk, you can show gratitude for your, like, legs for getting you there. And, like, maybe you just, like, give yourself a little foot spot home or something. Oh. Or you book a foot spot.
Take care
of
them.
Right. So if you catch the bus, you could tell the driver, like, thank you for always making my life so much easier by driving me.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
You know, right? If you have a car, which we do, give it a little treat. Like, maybe give it a car wash, mm-hmm. you know, put some little protective crystals in there, or, you know, just give it a little
notice
little
the special
charm.
About your modes of transportation.
Yeah, and really say thank you for that. And you're going to list your three things of gratitude when you wake up, and make them specific for bonus points. And you're going to really be thankful for your mode of transport this week. So thankful. Show them a little love. Also, don't forget, you can get a free subliminal on Francesca Amber's site. And I think it's francescaamber.com. And then you can find a free subliminal on our website, too, at Radiant Light. Or actually, yeah, Radiant Healing. Radiant Light Healing? I can't remember the name of our business.
We're tired tonight, y'all.
All right. I was like, wait, what's
Radiant
happening
Light
here?
Radiantlighthealing.com.
I don't know. You might find it. You might not, folks. But if you can't find it, it has a free subliminal on there. So good luck with that. You can find your girls on Monday Morning Mindsets. On Monday Morning Mindsets, the chat continues on our Instagram page, where there is still nothing on there, folks. Who's taking this over for us? Please, someone.
I know, right?
I know.
Representation here. All
and
right, folks.
Post about your gratitudes. I would love to see how it's going for you.
Yes, we love you all, and we are so grateful for each and every one of our listeners. And keep giving us that positive support and feedback on any realm so that we can keep making it bigger and better community. We love you. Right. Peace, love, and happiness.